John 3:16 is probably the most familiar verse in the Bible. And at the same time, it is one of the most misused verses in the Bible. And yet, we can understand the Bible, what God would have us to do to be saved and to live the Christian life, to worship Him in accordance to the New Testament pattern. We can learn the doctrine of Christ, yes. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Well, is it not the case that we must desire to learn and to obey the word of God? Well, of course it is. Notice in Matthew 11:28, Jesus gave an invitation. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that's everyone that is burdened with sin. That's everyone accountable, is it not? Romans 3:23. But here is the next verse. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We have to learn of Christ, learn the will of God by studying His precious word. In Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So we must be of those that what? Obey him. We have to learn the truth and submit to it, and we can understand it. But as we want to study today, this question, what does John 3:16 deny? Because I've heard this stated myself. Just preach the gospel and leave everyone else alone. Well, have you heard that said by anyone? Well, that's sad, because as a gospel preacher, I cannot preach the gospel of Christ and leave everyone else alone, nor can any other gospel preacher. So we want to study this morning. And again, we want to answer the question, what does John 3:16 deny? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to what? PFE. And we should know that is standing for preparing for eternity. That is so important. It's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville. Yes, sir, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude. That would be in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, and that would be in truth. So that's following John 4:24, is it not? And you would be so much welcomed to join in with us. We really are friendly here at Morgan Street. Now, something else we want to mention, if you're interested in studying the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities and would be glad to set up a time at your convenience. But also, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. That's again 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study as we ask this question. What does John 3:16 deny? We start out with "for God." Yes, that's how John 3:16 begins. Well, that denies atheism, does it not? Yes, of course it does. Atheists, infidels, deny God's existence despite the evidence. Here's a beautiful creation. There has to be a creator. Very basic. A nest does not produce a bird, and man does not evolve from lower species and starting out with a one-cell amoeba, which came from non-life. Non-life does not produce life. That doesn't work, and everyone should know that. But in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. We see it. We have the five senses to take in the beauty of creation. Remember the solar eclipse not long ago? And just recently you had the northern lights seen where it wasn't so far north. Well, I was privileged to see them when I was in Russia. But a lot of people are seeing, having seen that recently, really thought that was something. And it is, because that's declaring the glory of God. The beauty of creation is everywhere. So let's not deny what's before us. As some of, and this is sad to say, in our own country, atheism is increasing. And if you leave God out of John 3:16, then you have no Bible. You have no love, because God is love. God is light. God is just. And it's because of the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ we have salvation available. But when you leave God out, there's no salvation. There's no hope. What do you have? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's not what I find attractive. How about you? Well, God exists, and the proof is there. But let's go on in our study of what does John 3:16 deny? For God so loved the world. Well, that denies deism. The deist would say that God created the world and then left man to make his own way. Well, that's clearly refuted by the scriptures. God is concerned and desires for all men to be saved in John 3:16. So loved the world. That's obvious. A death blow to deism. Remember what Jeremiah said of old in Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so God didn't leave it up to man to make his own way. God directs us through his word. Well, let's go on. What does John 3:16 deny? For God so loved the world that he gave. Well, that denies premillennialism. Yes, premillennialists believe that Jesus is going to set up an earthly kingdom and reign on the earth. Well, that's false, because Jesus has already established his kingdom. And it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And he is now reigning on the throne in heaven. Colossians 1:13, let's notice, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. To be translated into the kingdom, that's not future. That's already occurred when Colossians was written by the inspired Apostle Paul. Notice verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. That's specific, one church. And the head of that one church is Jesus Christ, and it's the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's stay with the scriptures. So, of course, this is This is a false teaching, premillennialism, and how many people are sadly being deceived by it. Well, you can study in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and see Jesus sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And his throne is forever, his scepter. And you can see that in verse 8 there in Hebrews chapter 1. But let's go on. Notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which shows Jesus died for the lost, not to set up an earthly kingdom, as we just talked about premillennialism being false. But that phrase, his only begotten Son, is also denying Judaism, Islam, modernists, who claim that, well, they deny the virgin birth, better to say. What they're claiming is a false view of the scriptures. But also you have here, of course, Jews and Islamists are denying Jesus as the Messiah. Now, we're not advocating mistreatment of anyone, as we see on our college campuses. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just saying this is what's denied by John 3:16. The beliefs that they have, which we would like to see them converted to the gospel of Christ, converted to Christ and his teaching, of course, and accept him as he is, the Messiah. And that goes with the Islamist or anyone in a false religion. But you see, the Jews say that he is a son of God, as they are the children of God. But they're not seeing him as the only begotten Son of God. And the Quran says that Jesus is only a prophet, the son of Miriam. They missed it, did they not? Mary, yes, was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit caused her to conceive. So Miriam was the sister of Moses. Modernists, they're denying the virgin birth of Jesus, and yet in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a should be the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we go to Matthew 18 and see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, of course, caused her to conceive. Drop down to verse 23. Behold, it should be again, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's right. And that's what we must accept if we want to have the truth. God has only one begotten Son, as John 3:16 declares. Let's stay with the truth. Now, let's notice something else that John 3:16 denies. And this, again, is as we go back to the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, okay, that's denying Calvinism, John Calvin. Remember that the false teaching that's still believed by a number of denominations today. They teach that God predestinated that only a certain number would be saved, as they are termed the elect. But God would have all men come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Christ died for all, Hebrews 10:10. That whosoever, as John 3:16 says, would not perish. So, Calvinism is a terrible teaching and is false to the core. And how people can believe such? God would have all come to repentance. All those who have sinned, of course. That's what we need to stay with again, what the Bible says. But let's go on. Here's something else John 3:16 denies. Notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Universalism is denied when you stay with the scriptures. The universalist says that everyone is going to heaven. Believeth makes salvation conditional. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That refutes universalism. And we could just go on and on, verse after verse. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21 declares that. Let's stay with the scriptures. John 3:16 teaches that everyone is not going to heaven. And of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, and there be few there, and few there be that find it. That's the narrow road goes to heaven. The broad way, the majority are on that road. And many go therein thereat. So clearly that's refuted in the scriptures. Believeth is a part put for the whole. We must repent, make the good confession, and of course be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. But let's go on. And here's something else that's denied by John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now this is denying denominationalism. Denominationalists and sectarians say that we can have salvation in different churches, even though this is division. Different doctrines are taught, contradicting one another. And so you go to 1 Corinthians 1 and see verse 10. The Apostle Paul writing to the Church of Christ in Corinth. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. You see, they were arguing over who baptized him. And that caused division. And there was not to be that division in the church. And the church in the first century, that was it. There were no denominations. The word denomination is division. The denominator, remember our study of fractions when we were in school. Well, numerator and denominator. And you have a division in that sense. And that's what denominationalism is all about. Division. And that's not being unkind. It's simply stating the truth because we want to see people get out of denominationalism and be a member of the body of Christ. Staying with the truth and be a part of the spiritual body, the church, which is whose church? The church of Christ. And this is, again, simply staying with the Bible. So God says in John 3:16 that salvation is in Christ. And this denies a divided religious world. That's unacceptable. In Acts 2, verse 47, this is the day the church of Christ began, the church of the Bible, on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And you'll see those that obeyed the gospel, they were told what to do, to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38. They already believed, and they would have made the good confession, and they were added by the Lord himself to the church. Verse 47, that's made clear, isn't it? So we need to understand that John 3:16, in him is denying denominationalism. But let's go on and notice something else here that John 3:16 denies. Materialism. Notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Materialists say that when a man dies, he's annihilated and ceases to exist. Well, that's denied by John 3:16, of course. But notice also 1 Corinthians 15:12 through 14. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ, is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. That's not going to work out, is it? If Christ did not be, it was not raised, and so those teaching that there's no resurrection of the dead are teaching false doctrine. Perish means ruin and destruction. That's everlasting punishment, as Matthew 25:46 declares. And so in John 3:16, materialism is denied by everlasting life. Now, what would be left in John 3:16 if we left everybody alone? God denies atheism. Loved denies deism. He gave denies premillennialism. His only begotten Son denies Judaism, Islam, and modernism. Whosoever denies Calvinism, believeth denies universalism. In him denies denominationalism and sectarianism. Everlasting life denies materialism. What is left to preach? For so be that should not but have. Well, that's not going to be a very good lesson, is it, or a sermon? So with the time left, let's ask this question. Why is John 3:16 so important? Did you notice that it begins with God and it ends with man? For God. Yes. And whosoever. That's us. So sin brought about the separation between God and man, Isaiah 59. Notice verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Did we get that? We are separated from God when we sin, and thus we need salvation. And sin has caused that separation between us and God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Romans 6:23. So there's only one solution to the separation of us and God. And that separation, of course, is our sins. So notice where the only begotten Son is in John 3:16. Christ is right in the middle between God and man. Now, is that just coincidental? No, sir. He is our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5. Yes, he is God in the flesh. He is man, the Son of Man. And he is God with us. He is the only mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Now let's appreciate that, because he knows what it's like to be tempted. Look at Matthew 4. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one close to him. Of course, yes, God was in Christ reconciling man unto himself, The love of God should motivate everyone to submit to the gospel. This is the reason John 3:16 is so important. Do we see the need to preach the gospel of Christ as it is? Have we responded to the gospel of Christ? Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there to heaven? The Bible says there's one, John 14:6, and it is through Christ. There's no other way. Now, are we living as a faithful Christian? If we have obeyed the gospel, are we remaining faithful? If not, we need to repent. Pray for forgiveness, confessing our sins before God. If public, we need to make it known in the public assembly. We don't have to go through details of our sins, but we need to acknowledge that we've sinned before God and it's known in the congregation, and thus we're asking for the congregation to pray for us as well, and we're turning away from that sin and ready to be restored and a faithful child of God again as we pray to God for forgiveness. You see, the truth does not change because the majority of the world rejects it. All the religious confusion, it doesn't change the truth. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? If not, we stand ready to assist you. We'll study further. We'll go through the book of Acts and see the conversions and how they were converted by the truth, what they did in response to the gospel of Christ. They heard the truth. They believed that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And they repented of their sins. They changed the wrong way of thinking and did God's will. That's what we have to do as well, just as they did. They made the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And they were baptized in every conversion of the book of Acts. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2:38, for example. Paul was told by Ananias, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." By his authority, you're to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. We put on Christ. Baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3:21. How many verses does one need to understand we must be immersed, buried under the water in order to contact the blood of Christ? Romans 6:3-6. And on we could go. Why not accept God's word and submit to it today? Today is the day of salvation. It's not something to put off. And again, we're standing ready to study further and assist you in obeying the precious gospel of Christ. And then to live a faithful Christian life by worshiping God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And we thank you so much for listening today.